This is Audible.
Alexis Audiobooks presents the unabridged recording of El Diablo, The Devil, The Good Old Boys spinoff, written by M. Robinson, performed by Lauren Sweet and Marcio Catalano. Prologue. Martinez. I lean back, nonchalantly placing my hands in the pockets of my slacks, eyeing them up and down with a threatening regard.
You ever held a gun before?
I mocked, cocking my head to the side.
Please! Martinez, please! Just stop!
I snidely smiled. There was no way in hell I was going to stop. I was just getting fucking started.
Your hands are shaking. First rule of holding a gun. Never let your enemy see or fear. It just makes you a fucking pussy. So, what's your next move?
I am right here.
I spread my arms out at my sides, sticking my chest out.
This is your chance to get rid of me. Do it. Pull the fucking trigger. Do it.
I viciously baited, not giving a flying fuck anymore.
Stop, please. Fucking stop.
I'm a bad man. I've done unforgivable things. Here's your chance, fucking take it. Send me straight to fucking hell, now!
I always knew this day would come. I had made so many fucking mistakes throughout my life, but this moment would never be one of them. I lived far longer than I ever thought I would, always hoping I'd meet my maker from a loving hand, but we don't always get what we want. I had killed. I had avenged. I had loved. I had destroyed lives, and now it was time to pay for being the grim fucking reaper, taking lives that didn't belong to me. I just never thought my life would end like this. Lying in a pool of my own goddamn blood. Provoking my assassin to pull the fucking trigger. Part 1. Chapter 1. Martinez.
Let's go, Martinez. The girl's waiting for us.
My friend Leo stated for the 10th fucking time.
All right. Hold the fuck up. I'm coming. Besides, you know they'll wait all night for us.
I replied with a cocky grin as I walked toward the back door, careful to make sure the bodyguards and cameras that were set up throughout the house didn't see us.
Alejandro, you're not allowed to leave. Dad warned you. He doesn't like you leaving the house when they're not around, especially without taking a bodyguard with you.
Amari scolded while grabbing my arm, stopping me dead in my tracks. My older sister Amari was always the perfect little angel. I, on the other hand, was the devil. I think my dad was secretly proud when I acted out, but he never voiced it and never let it slide. Keeping up pretenses was what he was best at. He raised and molded me to take over his empire since the day I was born, like all the generations of the Martinez men before me. I was 14, almost 15, but being a kid was never in the cards for me, which was why I took every opportunity to do whatever the hell I wanted, especially when there wasn't someone constantly on my ass telling me I couldn't. I didn't give a shit if I got grounded. I knew I only had a few years to live a semi-normal life, and I took advantage of every chance I could get. Amari was a year and a half older than me, though it was of no importance. She always acted younger than her years. She had been sneaking into my bed ever since I could remember, because every little sound of the night frightened her. I didn't have the luxury of being scared. Fear wasn't a part of the life I was expected to lead. It was only a matter of time until I was the one who frightened her, too. Exactly the way our father did. He called it respect, but I knew it was nothing more than intimidation. Amari had always been weak, and had bothered our father in ways I had to make up for. I had to protect her, even though I was younger.
I don't want you getting in trouble, Alejandro,
Sophia murmured, loud enough for me to hear. I grinned, turning my attention away from Amari, my eyes locked with Sophia, who was standing at the end of the foyer. Sophia was my sister's best friend. I always thought their friendship was unconventional because she was my age. Her bright green eyes, pouty lips, and the smell of her long, dark brown hair had been doing things to me since the first time I had met her a few years ago. She was from the wrong side of the tracks, so to speak. She attended our New York private school on a scholarship offered to a select number of low-income housing kids with exceptional grades. My sister took to her immediately. She hated the pretentious pricks in our school. Amari and I had that in common. Leo and I had been friends since the first day of high school. He was a geeky-ass kid who was getting picked on by all of my so-called friends. One day, we were all standing around our lockers before the first bell rang for class, just shooting the shit. The boys were arguing over who got the furthest with Catherine Big Tits St. James. I was too focused on watching Sophia trying to reach the top shelf of her locker down the hall, not paying them any mind.
"Well, look what we have here, boys,"
Jimmy announced. We had gone to school together since we were little. I turned to see who he was talking about. Five lockers down, there was a scrawny kid with glasses. He looked like he didn't belong in our school. Jimmy went barreling up to him, knocking the books out of his hands.
"Are you lost? The school for underprivileged kids is on the other side of the city."
Leo ignored him, picking up his books. The bell rang, warning us to get to class. Jimmy and a few other guys shoved Leo into his locker, shut it, and walked away laughing. Needless to say, Jimmy and the boys were no longer laughing when school let out. I made sure to set them all straight and ordered them not to fuck with Leo ever again, or else. There was something about the kid, and to this day, I don't know what made me come to his rescue. After that, he became a permanent fixture in my life. He was still a geeky-ass kid, but it no longer mattered. My friendship was his shield. Nobody would dare to fuck with him anymore. Even at that young of an age, I never pussy-footed around. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. I never apologized for who I was or my actions. People could take it or leave it. I didn't give a shit. My don't-give-a-fuck attitude only made people want to hang out with me more, when in reality, they should have been staying as far away from me as possible. Everyone knew who my father was, and they feared me because of it. I had never been a fan of those who preyed on the weak. Maybe it was because I saw so much weakness in my sister. I'd sacrifice everything just to protect her if need be. My father knew Amari wasn't cut from the same cloth, which was why I was never allowed to leave the house when they weren't around. It never made any sense in my eyes. There were always bodyguards everywhere, just waiting to pull the trigger if shit hit the fan. I assumed they were getting paid a fuckload of money to do a job my father seemed more inclined to give me.
"Amari, they're not going to be back until late. If they even come home at all, they're at someone's initiation or some shit,"
I replied, pulling my arm out of a grasp.
"Aren't you tired of being grounded all the time? Why can't you just listen for once? It's not that hard,"
she sassed, waving her hands in the air.
"Just keep your mouth shut. If they come home, you didn't see me."
"I'm a terrible liar."
"Carajo, Amari. Hágalo con el legal, pues,"
I shouted.
"Fuck, Amari. Just do it."
Annoyed with her persistent nagging, she sighed, looking away from me. She hated it when I yelled at her. Our dad did it enough for everyone. He believed in tough love. Hugs and kisses were few and far between. We rarely heard the words, "I love you," from his mouth. Our mother was the only one who showed us love, tenderness, and affection. I stepped toward Amari, lightly grabbing her chin, forcing her to look at me again. She peered up at me through her lashes. I knew what this was really about. She worried something would happen to me. She worried constantly about everything, especially what harm could come to her if I wasn't around.
"I'll be fine. You'll be fine. I promise you got Dad's new goons here. I won't be back late."
I kissed her forehead, glancing one last time at Sophia before I turned and left. I could tell she wanted to ask where we were going, but she knew better. I winked at her with a sly grin, and she warily smiled. It wasn't until later that night I wished I had never left the house, and by the look on Sophia's face, she felt what my sister might have expected all along.
"You fuck! I'm so late. If my dad catches me, it's my ass he's going to lay out, Leo,"
I stated, shooting him a death glare. Those girls were definitely not worth the shit I'd be if and my parents got home before I did. Of course, my mother would try to defend me, like she always did, but it wouldn't matter. At the end of the day, what my father said ruled, end of story. The husband's words was the law in Hispanic marriages. The wife was subservient to her husband. She raised the kids, made sure the house was clean, and dinner was on the table every night. Now, add in the fact my father was a crime boss, and you get the picture. He was one of the most feared and hated men in the world, but to my mom, he was God. He laughed, throwing his head back while we pedaled our bikes as fast as we could.
"You smell that?"
Leo replied with a shit-eating grin.
"Smell what?"
"Smells like pussy to me,"
he chuckled.
"I'm the pussy. Who had to save your sorry ass once upon a time? I sure as hell wasn't a pussy then. Besides, you wouldn't know what pussy smells like if it was sitting on your fucking face.
Relax, they're not home. It's barely past 2 a.m. I've never seen your dad leave a party first. He knows better than to turn his back to anyone.
He chuckled.
All right, bro, this is my street. Talk to you tomorrow.
Leo disappeared into the darkness as I pedaled even harder and faster, praying I'd make it on time. My heart was beating out of my chest, sweat pooling at my temples. My mind was already racing, imagining every punishment he could bring on me. I opened the side door of the garage, breathing a sigh of relief when I saw the limo was still gone. Looking down at my watch, I calculated where the cameras would be directed at that time. I had snuck out often enough to know they were on a 15-minute rotation. I quietly walked in, making sure none of my dad's meatheads were around. When the coast was clear, I ran up the back stairs, taking 3 steps at a time toward Amari's bedroom. I wanted to let her know I was home safe, since she probably spent most of the night worrying about me.
Amari! Sophia!
I called out, lightly knocking on her bedroom door a few times.
I'm home!
I whispered, knocking again, before opening the door.
I'm coming in. You up?
More silence. I looked around the dark room, not finding them anywhere. Her bed was still made from this morning.
Where the hell are they?
I asked myself. Amari hated staying up late. She was always an early riser. Something wasn't right. A disturbing, unsettling feeling I couldn't describe washed over me. Before I knew what was happening, my body turned, moving on its own accord. I ran out of the room, making my way down the long, narrow hallway toward my bedroom. All I could hear were the sounds of my footsteps echoing off the walls. My shoes pounded into the floor, one right after the other. I couldn't get to my room fast enough.
Amari!
I was calling out her name before I had even made it into my bedroom.
Amari, where the fuck are you?
I shouted, when I found my room empty, too. Our house was fucking huge, but we never strayed too far from our bedrooms. They were the only rooms in the house with no cameras watching our every move. At least that's what our mother told us. Who knows if it was true? I ran into my bedroom like a bat out of hell, desperately needing to figure out where my sister and Sophia were. If anything bad happened to them, I'd be responsible for it. I'm the one who made the choice to leave them home, alone, with the bodyguards. The sick feeling in my stomach intensified with every menacing thought crossing my mind. I ran faster, only stopping to check rooms. The silence was deafening all around me. I never realized how quiet our house was at night, or how every little shadow, simply heightened by the darkness, lurking in every corner I ran past. The only sounds that could be heard were resonating off my body. My adrenaline hammered so fucking hard while every room I looked in turned up empty.
Amari! Sophia!
I screamed, knowing it was useless. The walls in our house were all soundproof. I stopped in the living room, hunched over with my hands on my knees, hyperventilating to the point of pain. After checking every last inch of the house, no one was to be found. No bodyguards. No Sophia. No Amari. Just me.
What the fuck?
I breathed out, peering around the room in confusion like they were going to suddenly appear out of thin air. I felt my face pale. All the blood drained from my body, causing shivers to course through me. I shuddered, suddenly cold. The hairs on my arms stood on edge when I realized the only room I hadn't checked was my father's office. We were ordered to never go in there unless he requested our presence. Before I gave it any more thought, I ran toward the other end of the house, frantically trying to ignore the nervous and fearful feeling I felt in the pit of my stomach and focus on the task at hand. My heart pounded so profusely, I found it fucking hard to breathe. My mind raced and my chest heaved with each passing moment, escalating with every step bringing me closer to his office. Panic began to set in, and I could no longer control my thoughts from running wild. I anxiously tried to find my resolve. I was a Martinez, not a fucking pussy. But I was still a kid who was terrified he let something happen to his sister and Sophia. There would be no coming back from this. I knew that before I even made it into his office. Everything played out in slow motion, like it was a dream. I ran to the door, reached for the handle, turned the knob, and shoved it open. It made a loud thud as it bounced off the back wall. I stopped dead in my tracks when I saw the brutal scene playing out in front of me. My night quickly turned into my worst fucking nightmare. Chapter 2. Martinez. Two pairs of dark, soulless eyes turned toward my direction as I took in the image that would forever haunt me. In the dim light, I could see Sophia thrashing around on the hardwood floor in the middle of the room, her delicate, small frame held hostage against her will by the two men who were supposed to be protecting us. One bodyguard was pinning her hands to the floor and covering her mouth to muffle her screams. The other hovered above her, straddling her thighs with his slacks hanging down his legs. Bile immediately rose up my throat, as I was about to witness her innocence being crudely ripped away from her. Her eyes were locked shut, as if she was trying to pretend she was somewhere else. Her beautiful face was bright red and swollen, with bruises already forming. Tears streamed down her beaten cheeks as she fought to break free. Her shirt was ripped open, revealing her blood-stained, white, lacy bra, one strap torn and hanging down her arm. Her panties and shorts were scrunched down by her ankles, restraining her from making any movement with her legs. It took me a matter of seconds to look over every last inch of her broken body. It was like I wanted to ingrain it into my memory. The bodyguard's eyes stayed focused on me in those moments, and my eyes remained locked on her, desperately hoping this was all just a bad dream, willing myself to wake the fuck up. Except, I knew in my heart it wasn't, and I allowed this to happen. The bodyguard's hand moved off Sophia's mouth, allowing a devastating scream to escape. I felt the sound pierce deep down within my bones, resonating and making itself home.
"Help me! Someone please help me!"
she screamed, loud enough to break glass.
"Amari, please help me!"
"Shut the fuck up!" the bodyguard who held back her wrist snapped. "You're asking her to help you? Stupid whore! You don't see her? She's so weak and scared she can't even help herself. Shit! We don't even have to tie her up. I'll let you in on a little secret. She's who we're after, but she's no fun. You, on the other hand, are so feisty, a much better toy to break. But don't worry, her turn is coming soon, after we take care of your pussy-ass brother."
I gasped, jerking back. I swear my heart stopped beating when I remembered I still hadn't found my sister. My gaze tore through the room, frantically searching for her in the dark corners of this hell. It didn't take long for me to find her. She was sitting in the furthest corner of the room with her arms wrapped around her legs, locking them tight against her chest. She looked so tiny and scared, like she was trying to mold herself into the wall and the floor. She shook profusely, but her petrified stare never wavered from Sophia. Blood-stained tears streamed down her bruised face. My eyes quickly scanned over her body, immediately noticing her clothes were still intact. For a second, it gave me a false sense of security they hadn't touched her yet. She hadn't even realized I was in the room, which made me think she was in shock. Seeing her in this state gave me the courage I needed to keep going. My stare went back to the men who were frozen in place, both of them trying to figure out what my next move would be. I couldn't read the neutral expressions on the bastards' faces. It was as if they didn't have a soul, a conscience, or one fucking ounce of remorse or compassion for what they were doing. It was the first time in my life I ever witnessed evil in true form. Sophia and Amari's innocence weren't the only things taken that night. I was no longer a boy. A kid. A child. Rage quickly replaced every feeling, every emotion, and every last thought that crossed my mind was gone in a flash, as if they never existed to begin with. And all I saw was vengeance. "Get the fuck off her," I gritted out through a clenched jaw, my fist tightened to the point of pain by my sides. Sophia's eyes shot open when she heard my voice resonate through the room, lifting her head off the floor to see me. She started crying harder as she dropped her head back, unable to hold it up for very long.
"What the fuck are you gonna do, boy?"
the bodyguard hovering over Sophia spewed out, rising to the balls of his feet, tucking his dick back into his pants. I resisted the urge to look at Sophia, disgusted by what I would see between her legs.
"Marco, let her go,"
he ordered the guy who was holding Sophia's wrists. Marco complied, releasing his grasp. Sophia scrambled to her hands and knees, crawling as fast as she could over to Amari, who still hadn't moved or made a sound. I released a breath of relief, knowing Sophia was safe for now.
"You made a big mistake walking in here tonight. The fun was just getting fucking started, boy. Wasn't it, John?"
Marco mocked, standing alongside the other motherfucker. I stood taller, not backing down. I was 5'9", 160 pounds. I was built like my father and bigger than most guys my age, which gave me an advantage.
Why don't you just run along, boy?
John scoffed out.
Oh, wait. Better yet, Mark'll grab him. I think we should show this little prick how a real man fucks.
I didn't falter, spitting out.
A real man wouldn't have to rape a girl. But judging by the size of your cock, I can see why women your age won't voluntarily fuck you. You little shit,
John spewed, walking over to the girls. I was over to him, in four strides, dodging Marco's hands that were trying to get a hold of me. Getting right up in John's face, I snarled,
You touch them one more fucking time, and I'll... What? You'll what? What are you gonna do, boy? Your daddy ain't around to save any of your sorry asses. He already called, saying they weren't coming home tonight. Now back the fuck up so I can have a taste of your sister's sweet little pussy.
My fist connected with his jaw before he got the last word out. His head whooshed back, knocking him off balance from my unexpected blow to his face. He stumbled back, holding his chin, before he glared up at me, spitting blood on the floor. Sizing me up for the first time, I had been in kickboxing since I learned how to walk. No one fucked with a Martinez. My father made sure of it.
You're gonna pay for that, you little fucker,
he warned, charging toward me but stopped when a shot was fired, hitting him right in the leg. The sound of Amari and Sophia screaming and wailing at the top of their lungs brought my attention to them. Cowering in the corner, before I could figure out where the shot came from, they bawled harder and hugged each other tighter, tucking their faces into each other's chests. John collapsed onto the ground, holding the open wound on his leg that gushed blood onto the floor.
Motherfucker!
He groaned out in agony. From the corner of my eye, I saw Marco lifting his hands in the air in a surrendering gesture, backing up slowly. A look of pure fear quickly followed. I turned around, following the direction of his petrified gaze.
What the fuck?
I breathed out, locking eyes with my father, who appeared out of thin air. I didn't even hear him. He was standing by his office door, still dressed in his tux, with a gun in each hand. One was pointed at Marco, the other at John.
Tisk, 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 he whispered, shaking his head in disappointment. You haven't been paying attention, boys. What am I paying you so much fucking money for? You two fuck-ups didn't even hear me coming.
Oh, yo lo sé,
he said.
Oh, I know.
He peered over at the girls with no emotion whatsoever. They both sat there beaten and broken, and he didn't even ask if they were okay. You would think one of them, being his own flesh and blood, he would have consoled his child, showed some kind of emotion, but not my father. He stood there like a cold-hearted bastard, as if he didn't give a fuck who they were. He could see what I walked in on. It was staring him blatantly in the face, but he remained calm and collected, unfazed like he saw this sort of scene play out in front of him all the time. That's when it hit me, like a ton of fucking bricks. This wasn't my dad. This was the crime boss that everybody feared. I had never truly witnessed my father's true nature until this very moment.
I wouldn't learn until later in life you never allowed your enemies to see your weaknesses. You could be burning inside, but had to remain cold and heartless on the outside, even if your whole life was laid out in front of you, dying.
Do you like little girls, asshole? A usted le gustan las peleaditas, cabrón?
My father asked, repeating himself and bringing me back to the present.
I asked you a question, twice, motherfucker. There won't be a third.
Marco lowered his arms.
Sir, we...
If you move your hands again, I'll slap the taste out of your fucking mouth. Now do as I say or I'll let the homeboys in the Bronx run a train on your culo. You know what?
On second thought, I still might.
He let out a throaty laugh that echoed off the office walls.
Suck my dick, Martinez.
John spewed from the floor, spitting blood in my father's direction.
Javier, he sends his regards.
My dad slowly cocked his head to the side, with a grin like the name meant something to him.
Was this retaliation for something?
He casually walked over to him, only stopping when he was a foot away from John's face.
You like to rape little girls. Raping young girl pussy. Is that your thing? You dirty motherfucker.
He didn't falter, kicking him square in the throat. John recoiled, immediately gasping for air, thrashing around not knowing whether to hold his throat or his leg. Amari and Sophia both let out a scream, taken aback by my father's actions. I stepped forward to go to them, and he pointed his gun in my direction, stopping me dead in my tracks.
Now is not the time, hijo,
he reprimanded, calling me son before turning the gun back on John.
So where were we? Ah, yes. You said you wanted me to suck your dick. That's what you said, right? For me to suck your cock?
John whimpered.
No!
My father crouched down to his level, pointing the barrel of both guns to his face.
What?
You didn't say that. You said you wanted me to suck your dick. That's what you said.
Are you calling me a liar? I'm a liar. I believe your exact words were, suck my dick, Martinez. Alejandro, did this piece of shit tell me to suck his dick?
I stood there nodding my head, unable to find my voice.
What did he say, hijo?
Yelling at me to answer him.
He said, suck my dick, Martinez.
That's what I thought.
He moved the guns to his cock.
Pull your pants down, John. That'll be nice. Nicer than you were to my daughter and her friend. I promise I won't shoot off your dick. I'll just leave you with one fucking ball. I'll even let you choose. Make a fucking decision. You tell me. Right or left?
I'm sorry. I'm so fucking sorry.
John groaned.
You know saying sorry is a sign of weakness.
Where's the man who wanted to take my daughter and her friend's virtue, huh? Where did that John go? The one who told me to suck his dick. He's gone? Hey, coño.
Out of nowhere, I saw my dad's arm swing straight up behind him, his face not wavering from John's. I blinked, following the direction he was aiming, right as another shot was fired, hitting Marco directly in the fucking forehead, blowing his brains out the back of his head, causing it to splatter on the floor and the walls. Time just seemed to stand still. Nothing moving, including me. Sour bile burned at the back of my throat, threatening to surface. Blood and death lingered in the air, a scent which would forever haunt me. I had never witnessed someone get murdered. I would remember that image for the rest of my life. There was no going back. It was now a part of me, burned into my senses, whether I wanted it to be or not. His dead body fell to the floor with a thud. My father didn't even bother to turn to see what he had just done. He shot a man point blank in the head, executing him without hesitation, without warning, and without any remorse or shame. I envied him at that moment. Seeing him exercise all his power made me crave it too, but a part of me was scared and not ready. So many conflicting emotions emerged in a matter of seconds. I still didn't understand my role as a Martinez, the life I was supposed to lead one day. The girl's screams echoed off the walls, vibrating through every last fiber of my being. I wanted to move. I wanted to grab my sister and Sophia and run. I wanted to hide, but my feet were glued to the goddamn floor beneath me.
Man up, son. Man the fuck up,
Dad roared while handing me the gun.
One down. One more to go, Alejandro.
I looked from him to the gun in my shaking hands. It was right then and there that I knew my life was about to change forever.
You look me in the eyes when I'm talking to you.
My body began to tremble as I looked into my father's vacant green eyes, trying like hell to control the fear coursing through me.
This is what we do, hijo. We protect what's ours by any means necessary. No matter what, family comes first.
I looked back at Amari and Sophia, who were still cowered together like two little girls in the corner. Both of them stared intently at me, waiting. I had never witnessed fear like it before, and I didn't know if it was directed at me or at what they had gone through tonight. My lips began to tremble as I held back the emotions trying to surface. I wanted the bastard to pay for what he had done to my girls. I wanted him to suffer as they had. I didn't know if that made me the hero or the villain in this story, but in the end, it didn't matter. I knew what I wanted to do. I felt it in my core what I had to do, not for my father, and not for the girls.
For me. Eye for an eye, Alejandro. Justice is always made on the fucking street.
John and I locked eyes. For the first time since this nightmare, a sense of calm settled over me, replacing any doubt or trepidation. The voices of my conscience were silenced. All I could hear was the sound of John's breathing in the distance. I've always known my fate, but this was the first time I actually wanted to embrace it. The look in his eyes showed me everything I needed to see. I raised my gun with a steady hand, causing his eyes to widen, pointing it directly to his forehead.
You're born in hell for this, boy,
John spewed, spitting blood again. I grinned.
Well then, save me a fucking seat.
I didn't think twice about it, cocking the gun and pulling the trigger. Silence. The girls didn't scream. They didn't make a sound. They just looked at me like they knew John was right. I didn't move. I didn't dare to even breathe, trying like hell to hold it together. It wasn't until Amari shut her eyes, shaking her head as though it killed her to look at me. I dropped to my knee, slouching over, still holding on to the gun. The realization of what I just did was like a cold bucket of ice being poured over my burning hot body. My father didn't falter, roughly grabbing my chin, making me look him dead in his eyes. I'll never forget the words that came out of his mouth next.
You're a Martinez now.
And I was. Chapter 3. Martinez. The next few weeks seemed to drag on, prolonging the nightmares plaguing my mind since I killed someone. It was my 15th birthday, and my mom had all of her family and friends over to celebrate. Every birthday my sister and I had turned into a huge, extravagant party, more for our parents than us. We never discussed what happened the night in my father's office. We were forced to move on. The incident, buried along with the bodies, 6 feet under. In those last few weeks, everything changed in my life. Starting with how my sister looked at me, so callous and cold. Every night I waited for her to come to my room and seek my protection like she always did, but she never came. I don't know if she fucking hated me because I left her that night, or because I killed someone while she watched. Either way, there was no turning back. Not for her. Not for me. Not for anyone. My fate was sealed that night. We barely spoke to each other, but it wasn't like I had much time to talk to her anyway. My father began taking me to his meetings. Business deals, or what he called them. I got to see exactly what he did from the time he left till the time he came home, and then some. Experiencing another life, another world. None of it even came close to what I thought he did in my mind. When he walked into a room, everyone turned and shut their fucking mouths, waiting for him to sit and speak. He always sat at the head of the table, and no one dared to challenge him for it. It took a lot to know a man, and in the last few weeks, I had learned so much about my father, yet I barely started to understand or comprehend any of it. When he spoke, everyone listened. When he moved, everyone parted. My father was God in a world that was nothing but hell. The irony was not lost on me.
Mi amor, aquí tienes, Mom said.
My love, here you go. As she handed me her gift.
Mama, you didn't have to get me anything. The party was enough.
Alejandro, what kind of mother would I be if I didn't get me bebé a gift?
She questioned, in her Spanglish, which she always spoke. I'm not the baby, I simply stated, shaking my head. She caressed the side of my face with nothing but love and devotion in her eyes. My mom was the strongest woman I'd ever known. Everything my father lacked, my mother made up for. I guess it was why their marriage worked so well. They had the perfect balance.
You'll always be my baby, Alejandro, even when you're married and have your own niños. Mi bebé para siempre, she added.
My baby forever, with a loving smile.
Now, open your gift.
I ripped open the wrapping paper and pulled off the cover of a square jewelry box. A black beaded bracelet was placed perfectly in the center.
It's for protection,
she said out of nowhere. I looked at her confused, not understanding what she meant.
I had the bracelet blessed for you. Para tu protección, she stated.
For your protection. My family was extremely religious. Like most Colombian people, we were Catholic. Both Amari and I were christened as babies, made our first communion and confirmation. Mom was definitely the most religious out of all of us. She went to church often, probably praying for her husband's soul and now mine. She took us to church every Sunday. Sometimes my father would show up, but most of the time not. She always wore a sterling silver cross around her neck, always caressing it while she prayed. In all my years, I'd never seen her take it off. She called it her protection. With us around her, she needed it more than anyone could ever know.
I wanted to wait to give it to you on your birthday. You're never to take it off. It will keep you safe, Alejandro.
Mama, I don't...
The look on her face stopped me from finishing what I was going to say. I honestly didn't know what to believe any longer, but I still found myself praying every night for those I loved. If it gave her peace of mind, then who was I to tell her no? I'd keep my word and hold it dear to my heart. I nodded, smiling, easing the disappointment on her face. I grabbed the bracelet out of the box, and she helped me put it on my right wrist. She made the sign of the cross on my face and body, like she always did.
Que Dios te bendiga y te acompañe,
she whispered. May God bless you and always keep you from harm. She pulled me into a tight hug, kissing the top of my head. Now, go enjoy your party, even though Sophia is not here. I cocked an eyebrow. Sophia hadn't been around at all. She hadn't returned to school either. I don't know how my father handled the situation with her grandparents, and I hadn't asked, knowing I wouldn't get a straight answer.
Your father took care of it. Give it time.
I nodded again, not knowing how to respond. The party started to die down, and I was finally able to make my way over to Amari. She was sitting outside by the edge of the pool, her feet dangling in the water.
Happy birthday, Alejandro,
she acknowledged, staring out in front of her without bothering to turn around.
How did you know it was me?
I asked, standing behind her with my hands tucked in the pockets of my slacks.
I could smell you from a mile away. You smell like Dad. You dress like him now, too,
she added in a sad tone. I peered down at my black button-down shirt and black slacks. We had to wear similar clothes like this for school, but since I had been spending all my free time with my father, I didn't find a reason to change once I got home.
Do you want to be like him now? Are you not my brother anymore?
This was the most she had spoken to me in weeks.
Do you think I have a choice in the matter, Amari? You know who our father is.
You always have a choice, Alejandro, whether you want to see it or not. It's there if you look hard enough.
When I shut my eyes, even if it's only for a few seconds, I still see them.
Her breath hitched, and she immediately closed her eyes. My words were too much for her to take.
I still see you, hiding in a corner, broken and beaten, with dried blood on your face and tears streaming down your cheeks, a look of terror as you watched Sophia, knowing you were next. Your life was hanging by nothing but a thread. You weren't the only one who lost your innocence that night, Amari. The only difference is, you can get yours back. I can't.
Do you regret it?
Without hesitation, I answered.
No. I would do it again if I had to.
She shook her head, disappointed with my answer.
Two wrongs don't make a right, Alejandro.
I didn't say anything. What could I say to that?
I don't want to lose you, Alejandro. You're all I have,
she murmured, her voice breaking. I crouched down, kissing the back of her head, letting my lips linger for a few seconds.
I'll always be your brother. I will always protect you, no matter what you think of my choices.
And with that I stood, turning, to leave. My father was expecting me. He said we were going to take a ride after the party wrapped up. He still had to give me my gift.
For now, you're my brother for now.
I stopped dead in my tracks, feeling her intense gaze on my back.
Even the devil was an angel once, Alejandro. It's only a matter of time until you become El Diablo, too.
I could feel her stare burning a hole between my shoulder blades, waiting for me to comment. I didn't. I just went back inside, leaving her alone with nothing but the truth that lingered between us.
Hijo, grab your suit jacket. The limo is waiting outside,
Dad ordered, kissing my mom on the lips before heading out the door. I tried to pretend I didn't see the worry and concern written clear across her face. Instead, I leaned in and kissed her cheek, following my dad to the limo, not looking back. His driver and bodyguards were outside waiting on us. He rode everywhere in a limo. I couldn't remember the last time I ever saw him drive his own car. My mother, on the other hand, refused, saying she didn't come from El Barrio in Colombia to be chauffeured around. El Barrio was the hood. She was dirt poor growing up, having nothing but the tattered clothes on her back. In a way, I guess you could say my dad saved her. Bringing her into an extravagant life, where she didn't have to want or need for anything. It was all there for her on a silver platter. Any family she still had in Colombia were taken care of and safe. Not just because she married into money, but she also married into power. The highest authority in the country, to be exact. My father. They moved to America a few years after they were married. The Martinez men had been doing business in the States for decades. He was the one who decided it was time to relocate and conquer. My sister and I were born in New York and had been traveling around the world with them since we were born.
You've had your first taste of blood, protecting what was yours.
And rightfully so, Dad declared, pulling me away from my thoughts. The limo stopped at our destination, a building located in the center of Manhattan.
You're a man now, Alejandro. It's time you reaped the benefits of becoming a Martinez.
He opened the door and stepped out of the limo before I had a chance to reply. I followed his lead into the building I didn't recognize, along with his 6 bodyguards who never left his side. We entered a private elevator that required a slide card to access. One of the bodyguards swiped the card and punched in a code to the penthouse floor. The doors opened to a huge, fully furnished living room with floor-to-ceiling bay windows, which overlooked Manhattan. I stepped off the elevator, passing my dad to walk around the room. There was a kitchen to the left, with all stainless steel appliances and a granite-topped island with 10 stools. To the right, there was a spiral staircase, which I assume led to the master suite. The door was simple, yet elegant, with several pieces of art that looked like they cost a small fortune. There wasn't a thing out of place. Everything pristine and in order.
"This is one of my penthouses," Dad answered, reading my mind as I stopped by the window, peering out at the scenic view only Manhattan could provide.
I could physically feel the energy of the city that never sleeps, taking a deep breath, enjoying the feeling coursing through me, absorbing everything around me.
"You're giving me a penthouse for my birthday?" I asked, turning around to look at him.
He arched an eyebrow, nodding to one of his goons to hit the elevator button.
"I'm giving you something way better, hijo."
As if on cue, my attention was drawn to a young woman dressed in a red bra and panties, entering the room with nothing but heels and a bright smile.
"Pussy,"
he added, with a devious grin. My stare went back to my father, jerking my head back, confused.
"Happy birthday, Alejandro. She's yours for the whole night. You can fuck her 3 ways from Sunday. I've paid for every hole on that body. I suggest you try each one."
With that, he turned around and left, leaving 2 bodyguards to stand by the door. I turned my attention back to the blonde who was now sitting on the couch like the whore that she was. The bra and panties she wore left nothing to the imagination. Her tits lifted high to accentuate her small waist and luscious ass. Her pouty red lips made me immediately want to stick my cock in between them. It was as if her body was made just to fuck. Her blonde hair cascaded down the sides of her face, and her body shined bright against the dim lighting of the room. Her creamy white skin looked as inviting as her legs that were spread wide open as she leaned back into the cushions, waiting. We locked eyes. Her sultry blue eyes scanned me over as she licked her lips ever so slightly, making my cock twitch. By the look on her face, she liked what she saw.
The feeling was very fucking mutual.
"You look a lot older than 15, she said, breaking the silence with her fuck-me eyes. "Your daddy paid a lot of money to have me here tonight. We have more in common than you think, Alejandro. I'm a prodigy, too. One day, I'll be the madam, and you'll be God." I narrowed my eyes at her, not understanding. "I'm a VIP. Very important pussy. I'm the best you will ever fucking taste, and I'm going to show you the time of your life, birthday boy. So, the question really is, what hole do you want to fuck me in first?" she rasped, sucking in her lower lip. I slowly made my way over to her, just out of reach, one hand placed in my pocket trying to conceal my excitement, and the other rubbing my chin, contemplating my next move, taking in every last inch of her body, right down to her exposed pussy. It was my turn to lick my lips, desperately wanting to drop to my knees and devour it.
"You don't say much, do you?"
she asked, bringing my gaze back to hers.
"What's your name?"
"Anything you want it to be."
"That's not what I asked."
She smirked.
"Lilith. My name is Lilith."
"How appropriate. How old are you, Lilith?"
"Old enough. Besides, a lady never tells her age."
"Well then, it's a good thing you're not a lady," I scoffed, tilting my head, trying to guess. She held back a smile.
"I'm a few years older than you. I think we're going to be very good friends one day, Alejandro,"
she purred, getting onto her hands and knees and crawling toward me. She peered up at me through her long, dark lashes, and although she was gorgeous, she wasn't who I wanted her to be. But who was I to stop her when she pulled out my cock and deep-throated it like the goddamn pro she was, leaving a ring of bright red lipstick around my shaft? I spent the rest of the night fucking her in every possible position known to man. I lost my virginity to a whore, all because my father was proud of me for murdering a man. If that wasn't fucked up, then I don't know what is.
Chapter 4 Martinez.
Amari.
Amari, you up here?
I called out, climbing up the ladder to the attic. We used to play up there when we were kids, and as we got older, it turned into a safe place to escape life, even if only for a few minutes. It was our safe haven. They say time heals all wounds, and I began to believe it. 6 months passed since my birthday, and over the last few weeks, Amari started feeling comfortable enough to be around me again, casually starting conversations with me that weren't forced, asking me for help on her homework, and even coming into my room to watch movies together. Little things like that gave me hope that maybe one day she would look at me the way she used to, with love. She was leaning against the far wall, looking out the window. A daisy hung from her fingertips with its petals scattered by her feet. It had been her favorite flower since we were kids.
He loves me, he loves me not,
I heard her whisper. I didn't need to ask who she was thinking of. It was Michael, a white-ass boy we went to school with all our lives. Her first real crush. She had loved him for as long as I could remember, blushing like a little schoolgirl any time he acknowledged her. They had officially been together a year, much to my father's dismay. It took him years to finally accept that Amari wouldn't date any of the guys he kept bringing around for her. We all knew he wanted her to have an arranged marriage. Our dad didn't care if his daughter was going to be loved, or if her husband was going to be faithful. No, none of that mattered. Our dad cared about what they could offer our family. More power, more territories, more soldiers. More, more, more. Our mom constantly reminded him that he married for love, and he needed to give Amari and I the same chance. After years of constantly going back and forth with it, she was finally allowed to start dating Michael.
Hey,
she greeted as I sat down next to her, leaning forward to rest my arms on my knees. I handed her another daisy from the vase next to me. She smiled, grabbing it out from my hand to twirl it around her fingers. Her smile quickly faded as she watched the daisy dance in her hand. Silence filled the space between us.
Why the sad face?
We're not kids anymore, are we? Alejandro,
she asked, looking back up at me.
Were we ever?
I'd like to believe so. You used to smile, laugh, and joke around. Now you're so serious all the time. It's like you went from being 15 to 50 in a matter of months. Feels like it's been forever since I've seen you happy. Where's my brother? Where did he go?
I met her gaze for a few seconds before deciding to look out in front of me, avoiding the pain in her eyes.
I'm with you right now.
That doesn't answer my question.
It sounded more like a statement to me, Amari.
Dad let you off his leash?
I grinned, glancing over at her, laughing silently to myself. She smiled, nudging my shoulder.
There he is. There's Alejandro.
What are you doing up here?
I asked, changing the subject.
What is your douchebag of a boyfriend?
She shrugged, not paying any mind to my name-calling. She was used to it. No one would ever be good enough for my sister. Especially some pussy gringo guy.
Michael and I are... I don't know. We're fighting, I guess. And no, I don't need you to go rough him up.
Did I say a word? I responded with my hands surrendered in the air.
Don't give me that look, brother. I know it works on your little hussies, but it doesn't work with me. Have you talked to Sofia?
We were discussing Michael, I simply stated.
I don't want to tell you. I don't want you to hate him any more than you already do.
Whether you tell me or not, I'll find out. So, how about you save me the time and spit it out already?
She rolled her eyes at me, knowing I was right. I had never cared for Michael. Quite frankly, I wish the fucker would disappear. I had seen him staring at Sophia more times than I cared to count. The fact that he would disrespect my sister in front of her fucking face made it easy for me to dislike him. I never said anything to Amari because she was oblivious to it, and the last thing I wanted was to lose my sister over some asshole. She sighed.
Do you promise to keep her cool? You won't say anything to him or hurt him?
I nodded, even though I was lying. If he hurt her, I would break his fucking face without any hesitation.
You're lying. I don't believe you.
My word is all I have, Amari.
She bit her lip, contemplating if she should tell me or not. She shook her head.
Fine. We were hanging out after the football game last night, and this guy from another school started talking to me while Michael was shooting the shit with his boys. So,
he left you by yourself? I interrupted, putting my hand out to stop her, needing clarification.
No, what? He was mad because I was talking with another guy. We got into a huge fight over it. He's pissed at me. I don't know what to do to make it better. I told him we were just talking. It didn't mean anything, but he says he could tell I was flirting or some shit like that. I don't want Michael thinking I'm a slut or a cock tease.
1. He shouldn't have left you by yourself if he's that insecure. 2. If he called you a slut, I will fucking rip his...
Oh my God, he didn't leave me by myself. We were at a party. See, this is why I don't want to talk to you about it. You're just going to put all the blame on him. You're supposed to be helping me, not pointing fingers.
I could break his fingers, but instead I'm here just listening to you.
Alejandro.
Amari, don't whine. It's fucking annoying. I scoffed, pissed off that she was defending him. She narrowed her eyes at me.
You know, for someone who claims to be a take-charge kind of guy, you're still 2 and you sure are pussyfooting around.
Pussyfooting?
The only thing I do with pussy is fuck it. You want me to tell you what I'm thinking right now? My opinion? Because, sweetheart, you're not going to like it.
You're vile,
she spat, getting up from where we sat. I followed suit, not backing down.
I'm honest. Your boyfriend is an insecure little bitch who would rather call you a slut than walk over to you and claim what he thinks is his. He wants to fuck you, Amari. And the fact that he's acting so possessive can only mean one thing. You haven't spread your legs for him yet.
Her eyes widened from my revelation of her truth.
How about that for honesty?
She shook her head, backing away from me. I grabbed her wrist, stopping her.
Don't you dare walk away from me. Words, Amari. Fucking speak.
Let go of me,
she gritted out, trying to tear her arm out of my grasp.
You think you're so high and mighty, Alejandro? But here you are, Dad's lapdog, marching in line with every last thing he says. You're nothing but his bitch.
At least I'm not weak, Amari, I countered, letting her go. She didn't falter.
I'd rather be weak than be condemned to this life of hell. I can't wait until I'm old enough to leave. I want nothing to do with this life. I will be out that door and out of this purgatory as soon as I fucking can.
With Michael? I mocked in a condescending tone, standing close to her. You think he can protect you? From me? Your own flesh and blood? I'll always be your brother, and I'm not going anywhere, even if you think you are. Her chest rose and descended with each word that left my mouth.
I'm not scared of you, Alejandro. I know who you really are in here.
She paused, placing her hand over my heart.
So stop pretending like I don't. You don't intimidate me. You need to worry about your own life and stay the hell out of mine. You've made your own choices, now you need to let me make mine. Maybe it's time you stopped pussyfooting around with what's been right in your goddamn face for a long time. How about you claim what you want to be yours, since it's so easy for you?
Enough, Amari, I ordered, putting my hand out in front of me. She shoved it away from her face.
She's waiting for you. You know that, right? She thinks you're her fucking hero, her savior ever since that night. She's loved you since the first day she laid eyes on you, and I'm certain the feeling is mutual. Maybe it's time for you to grow some balls and actually do something about it. She's going to be here in a few minutes.
Get the fuck out of my face.
Truth hurts, doesn't it, brother?
She smiled before turning around to leave, never looking back. I stood there alone for I don't know how long, contemplating everything she had just said, taking a few deep breaths, trying not to let my temper get the best of me. It was a Martinez trait. We could go from 0 to 60 in a matter of seconds. My father already warned me on several occasions that I needed to learn how to keep my emotions in check, protecting what's mine without showing any weakness, never backing down. It only took one wrong move in this life to end up with a bullet in your goddamn head. Your enemies couldn't hurt you if they didn't know what you're feeling, what you're thinking. It was the code of life, a very thin fucking line between being dead or alive. I took another deep breath as an unrecognizable feeling washed over me. It was a strong force, a pull drawing me, making me gravitate toward the window. My hands securely placed in the pockets of my slacks, rubbing my fingers together. A calming gesture I had acquired somewhere along the way. I felt her before I saw her.
Sophia.
She started coming around more in the last month. I had seen her a few times in school between classes, always struggling with her fucking locker. She'd caught me staring at her on more than one occasion, and would smile shyly at me from a distance. I'd always look away, never acknowledging her, turning and walking in the opposite direction. I wanted to remember the way she used to look at me, rather than the way she looked at me now. She was in the daisy field behind her house. Amari was nowhere to be found, but I assumed she was there for her. There was no taking my eyes off her. I couldn't.
and I didn't fucking want to. She was breathtakingly beautiful, sitting there in a teal sundress, her long legs placed out in front of her, leaning back on her hands for support. Her dark brown hair gleamed in the rays of the sun, gently blowing in the breeze. Her soft, creamy skin, flawless. I could see her bright green eyes shining from the distance between us. She looked like a dream. My dream. Before I could give it any thought, I went to her, taking the attic ladder 2 steps at a time, hoping she was still sitting there alone by the time I got downstairs. She didn't turn toward me, or even acknowledge that I was there. She was in her own little world, a world I desperately wanted to become a part of. I sat down beside her, gazing at the sight of her beautiful face, willing her to say something, but her eyes remained looking front and center toward the Manhattan Bridge in the distance, while mine remained on her. "It's been a while," she said loud enough for me to hear, breaking the silence, her tone laced with nothing but worry. "Your sister let me in. She said to go out back and you would find me. I know what you're thinking, but I'm not here for Amari. I'm here for you." "Why?" I found myself asking, holding back the desire to reach over and touch her, knowing it would only frighten her. "You never gave me a chance to say thank you after that horrible night. They were about to rape me and God knows what else. It has taken me months to wrap my head around it. I've been trying to heal, both physically and mentally. When you found us, I remember thinking God sent us an angel. You saved my life, Alejandro." She paused, letting her words linger. "I can't begin to tell you how grateful I am. Thank you for..."
"Now, tell me why you're really here," I interrupted, needing to know. This was all very touching, but I was tired of the bullshit. I had enough of that in my life.
She immediately turned to look at me, locking eyes. Her intense gaze lit me on fire in a way I had never experienced before. I never wanted to kiss someone as much as I did her at that moment. There were so many what-ifs racing through my mind in an instant, so many consequences and scenarios that could happen, so many fucking choices that could be right or wrong. She needed to stay away from me. That was the right thing to do. I was no good for her. She looked at me as a savior, her hero, when I was anything but those things. I reached over and caressed the side of her face. She leaned into my embrace like she had been waiting for me to do it since the second I sat down beside her. My thumb moved toward her pouty lips, rubbing off the lipstick that she wore for me. I didn't want her to pretend to be anything but what she was. She closed her eyes, melting into my touch. Her breathing hitched when I pulled on her bottom lip. My hand suddenly moved to grip the back of her neck and bring her toward me. I knew this was wrong. I knew I should have stopped. I knew there was no coming back from this. I gently pecked her lips, beckoning them to open for me. She did, releasing a soft moan when she felt my tongue in her mouth. See, I also knew I was going to hell. I just never imagined I would be taking her with me.
Chapter 5. Martinez. "How many assault rifles are in the crates?"
Dad asked the black market arms broker during a meeting at one of his warehouses downtown. He had me attend more and more meetings over the last year, molding me into the prodigal son, always reminding me that this would all be mine one day. As if I could forget. We all sat around a rectangular mahogany table in the middle of a wide open space. It looked like a scene from a mobster movie. My dad was at the head of the table, of course, and I was sitting beside him. The two arms brokers were sitting across from me, with smug looks on their faces. There were 3 bodyguards behind my dad, and 1 behind me. 2 more stood watch by the door. If the 2 motherfuckers tried to pull anything, they wouldn't be walking out of there alive.
"4 to 5, he replied in a thick Russian accent. "It's either 4 or 5. Which one is it? I don't have time for your bullshit."
"Usually 4.
"Usted lo que está diciendo es..."
Dad snapped.
"So, what you're saying is that you were trying to fuck me when you already knew it was 4. You just wanted me to pay for 5.
"No, that's..."
He put his hand up in the air, silencing him.
"That wasn't a question. My reputation speaks for itself. Would you like me to remind you what I'm known for, hijos de putas?"
Dad sneered.
"Son of bitches."
The arms brokers looked at each other suspiciously, then back at my dad. By the look on their faces, they wanted to tell him to go fuck himself, but they knew better. Dad sat there with his head cocked to the side, sizing the men up.
lazily spinning the Glock sitting in front of him like a roulette wheel, stopping it every time it pointed to the Russians.
I want 1,000 rounds of ammunition for each of those rifles.
We can do 500.
He didn't falter, arguing.
If I wanted 500, I would have said 500. 4 assault rifles per crate. I want 100 crates. I'd pay you 2,000 a crate. 500 per rifle and 50,000 for the ammo. That's 250,000 total.
That's too low. We need...
The gun spun one last time, and before I knew it, he had it off the table, holding it casually out in front of him instead.
The crates need safe transportation until offload at the shipping port downtown. I'll pay you half now. Half when they get delivered.
Let's negotiate.
If you want to negotiate, then get the fuck out of my office, pedazos de mierda,
Dad roared. Pieces of shit.
We take high risk doing this, and you're offering 250,000. It's an offer you shouldn't refuse. Your risk is well compensated. These are wholesale rifles. I'm moving them onto the streets. The serial numbers need to be shaved off, so it's going to cost me money. If you don't want to take the deal, I can reach out to the Albanians. You're not the only pendejos I can buy from. Take it or leave it. But next time you try to come in here, don't waste my fucking time with bullshit excuses. We're not selling Girl Scout cookies, motherfuckers. We're in the business of making things happen. Either you make it happen or I find someone who will.
The arms broker cleared his throat.
Right. We will have them delivered next week.
My dad pounded his hand that was holding the gun on the table. The three bodyguards behind him stepped forward.
Thursday,
he gritted out. Which was 3 days from today. Then he casually stood up, buttoning his suit jacket. I followed suit. From the sound of things, the meeting was over. They nodded, clenching their jaws.
Thursday, amigo.
My father shook his head with a cocky grin.
I'm not your friend.
Grabbing the briefcase that was under the table, Dad placed it out in front of them. He slid open the locks, revealing stacks of $100 bills perfectly placed in a row, filling the entire briefcase from top to bottom.
Since you think I'm your amigo, I'm assuming you don't need to count it.
Dad cruelly mocked, shutting the briefcase and sliding it across the table. The arms broker intercepted it.
You interested in the women we picked up? I have a mother and daughter, beautiful women with big tits and voluptuous asses. A few other women as well, all young, fresh. We had our go with them. They're ready to be transported, if you're...
No.
Dad cut him off without missing a beat. I narrowed my eyes in confusion at the sick fuck sitting in front of me.
Are you sure? They make good business. Make you a lot of money for...
Did I fucking stutter? Take your money and get the fuck out.